This class is the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we have covered the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. Tonight we're going to cover discerning of spirits, and if we have time, we'll also get into the gift of faith. Corinthians chapter 12 is our main text for this whole course. In verse 1 it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." In the King James it says, "ignorant." So if this was inspired writing to the church of Corinth and the body there was not to be ignorant, God doesn't want us to be ignorant of the spiritual gifts, but he wants us to understand them. So let's go ahead and see what we can learn from this. So we're going to jump down to verse 4. "Now there are varieties of gifts or manifestations, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues." Sometimes it's called diverse kinds of tongues. "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills." So those are the 9 gifts that we read off. And we've gone over this before, but I'm going to review a little bit tonight. 3 of those gifts say something. They're gifts of utterance. 3 do something. They're gifts of power. And 3 reveal something. Gifts of revelation. So we've covered gifts of revelation, and tonight we'll cover the last gift of revelation, and then we're going to move into the power gifts. Now the gifts of utterance are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. The gifts of power, it's the gift of faith, or we could say Amplified says special faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings. And the gifts of revelation are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Now, discerning of spirits is the least of the gifts of revelation, but it's still a good gift. To discern means to see. It's seeing into the realm of spirits. It is not just discerning of evil spirits or discerning of devils. It's not just the negative side. It's seeing into the realm of spirits, both good and evil. Now, the order of the revelation gifts in importance goes like this. Word of wisdom is the most important, then word of knowledge, then discerning of spirits. Now, the discerning of spirits is more limited than the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom because it's narrower in what it covers, or basically it's only one subject, and that's spirits. Whereas word of knowledge and word of wisdom can be people, places, things. It's much more broad. Word of knowledge is past or present. Word of wisdom is future. So let's go ahead and look in the Bible to get an example of what discerning of spirits would be. And so you can open to Exodus 33:20. Moses, in this case, asks to see God's glory. And God responds to him and says that he'll make his goodness pass before him. In other words, he'd reveal himself to him. But he also says in verse 20 that you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. So the Lord tells him what to do, and then the Lord passes by him and allows him to see his back parts. So what was happening there is Moses was discerning of spirits and seeing into the spiritual realm and was seeing the back parts of God. He was seeing the likeness of God. Oftentimes, the gift of discernment gets confused with the word of knowledge, because people sometimes will think, if they haven't been taught or they haven't studied, that if they're discerning, if they think they just know something, they think that's discernment, discerning of spirits. And they get discernment confused with this gift of discerning of spirits. And usually if they're discerning something, it's really that they're knowing something, and it falls into the category of a word of knowledge, not discerning of spirits. The only way it's discerning of spirits is if they see into that spiritual realm, and they see spirits, either good or bad. So somebody may have a vision, but a vision doesn't automatically mean it's discerning of spirits, unless they're seeing spirits. So they could have a vision and have a word of knowledge in it. So just a vision does not automatically mean it's discerning of spirits. So let me give you a couple examples. For instance, mental illness. Sometimes a person can be sick in the mind like they can be sick in the body, and it is simply a sickness. It is not always a spirit, but there can sometimes be a spirit involved in that. And there was a minister that was ministering, and he was sharing this story that there had been a lady, her name was Janie, who had been put in a mental hospital into a padded cell because she was so violent, so she wouldn't hurt anyone. But she'd been there for years. And so over the years, she began to just get very, very frail to the point where they thought she was going to die. She either needed to get out and recover, get some sunlight, get better food, or she was going to die. So they let her out in the care of her sister. So her sister brought her to church. When she stood in front of this minister, when she was brought, the Lord said to this minister, "Go stand in front of her and say, 'You unclean spirit, come out of her.'" And so the minister did that. And when the minister did that, nothing seemed to have occurred other than they just did that. In there we have two different gifts operating, that it was a word of knowledge. And then at the same time, the gift of faith was hooked up with that also, because it took the gift of faith in this case for that spirit to be cast out. So they did that, and about 48 hours later, the minister got word that this person was acting violent again, like when they first got sick. So the minister said, "Don't even let it concern you, because in the Bible, sometimes when a spirit's cast out, somebody can throw a little violent fit, but then it's over, and the spirit knows it has to leave." And that's exactly what happened. So 48-hour time period, there was a little fit, and then the person was completely healed and restored and lived for many, many, many years completely healed. Now, that was a word of knowledge. So what about when somebody sees like a vision and they get a word of knowledge? There was another case where a minister was ministering, and somebody came up into the healing line, and when this person stood in front of him, and sometimes it can happen when you lay hands on someone, sometimes when they stand in front of you, there's just something happens, and there's a knowing, or it's triggered by laying hands on them, and then the gift flows. But when this person came to stand in front of him, he had a vision, and he saw the man about two nights before. And he had gone to sleep on his porch in Texas, and this minister saw in the spirit him kind of flipping back and forth on his different sides because he was uncomfortable, and that his conscience was hurting him, and that his conscience was hurting him because he hadn't been paying tithes. And so this minister at that point knew that it was both, he had had ulcers, and he knew he'd had ulcers, he was holding his stomach, and that his conscience was bothering him. So when he stood there in this healing line, he then revealed that to him, what he had just seen. And the receiver said, "Well, you must be a fortune teller," or something like that. He said, "No, that's God revealing that to me." Then he said, "But I can't do anything for you until you get it right with God." And so this man had a good paying job and had never tithed to the church. And at that point, he made a decision that he was going to tithe. And then this minister laid hands on him and prayed for him. And there was no manifestation that they could see in the natural. Couldn't see anything happen. But he said, "Now you go home and you eat a T-bone steak." And he had not eaten for any hard food for at least about 2 years. Nothing hard. All soft food. He went home. He ate a T-bone steak. Within a week, he was back to work and he was completely healed. So that was a word of knowledge. Even though he was seeing a vision, but it was still a word of knowledge. I just want to help you understand the differences between these. Now, sometimes they kind of work together. Now, there was another case, this is all the same minister, that the Lord appeared to this minister and he said, "From this point forward, you're going to start having more discerning of spirits functioning in your ministry. And you're going to operate in it when you're in the spirit." So he goes out to minister, and he's at an Assembly of God church, and he's with a gentleman named Pastor Lewis, and his daughter had come down with cancer, and cancer in the left lung. And so he was just believing that his daughter was going to get ministered to while this minister was there visiting. So she'd come forward, and I don't think he knew what it was, but just that she needed healing. This was 3 weeks that he was there ministering, and this woman came and kept coming to the services. This one time, she came forward into the healing line, and this was in week three. And when she stood in front of him and he laid his hand on her, he suddenly said it was as though there was no one else in the room but them, and they were circled in light. And he saw a spirit attached to her left lung. And he knew that that was bad and it had to go. So he spoke to the spirit, not to her, and he commanded the spirit to leave her body. And when he did that, he said he saw the spirit drop to the ground and whimper like a whipped pup, and then speak and say, and he heard this, nobody else could hear it, but he heard it, say, "I don't want to go, but I know if you tell me to go, I have to go." And then the minister said, not only do you have to leave her body, but leave the room. And then the little spirit ran down the aisle and out the room. And she was completely healed. So she even went back after that, because actually what had happened is she needed to get treatment, and she didn't get treatment for the one lung. She waited, and it spread to both lungs, and then they said she was beyond treatment. There was nothing they could do for her. So she was then completely healed and went back and had tests, and the doctors even said they would sign an affidavit saying that she had had cancer, and now she was free from cancer. They even offered and wanted to take extra tests of her because they were trying to understand what had happened. So she was healed. She received healing. Now that was discerning of spirits. That minister saw into the spiritual realm and saw a spirit. Now, there's something else that we can learn there, is that that was the fifth time that minister had laid hands on her. The first four times, nothing was revealed to that minister. But the fifth time, it was revealed. Why? Because these are gifts that flow as the Holy Spirit wills. If we could turn it on, I think all of us in here would want it to be number one. Now, we don't necessarily know why things happen the way they do in this, but we do know that it's as the Holy Spirit wills. But what this does tell us is this. See, sometimes people need to persevere, and they need to be serious. And they need to really go after what they want. And this woman didn't quit. She kept at it, kept at it, kept at it. She wasn't too embarrassed to go back up and get in that healing line again and go at it again. See, there are benefits to being in a place where the presence of God is moving in manifestation. Because maybe the Holy Spirit wasn't moving that in one service, but maybe he will in the very next service. You see that? It's as he wills. So it's very important for us to be led as to what services we're to attend. Even when we go to conferences, because, you know, really, a lot of them will run, well, some of them, I think of the Copelands, will run services where they go literally all day and into the evening. And if you do that for a week, I mean, sometimes I've left from conferences in the very beginning when I first started going to conferences, tired or sick, because of driving my body too much in the natural, beyond what I really should have done, and I should have taken breaks and rested my physical body. So we should all do what is right for our bodies. I learned that, so did Pastor Brad. And so then it got to the point that we kind of pulled back from thinking we had to go to everything, because you figure you've paid money or you've traveled far or whatever. And we just started praying and asking God, what do you want us to go to? Which services do you want us in? What workshops do you want me to go to? And then the Holy Ghost will just kind of quicken it to you, have it bear witness in your spirit, and you know what ones you need to be at. And then it's so refreshing and wonderful. Then, during the other times, you can go out to lunch, or you can go rest, or do whatever else you need to do. But see, that way, you get in on the services where you get what you need. I like those services where there's laughter and the Holy Ghost. And I think God knows that I like those. And so when I pray, I remember this last time I was in Oklahoma, he said, be there Friday night. Be there Friday night. And it was like, Okay, I'm like, well, what about all these other nights, all these other services? Nothing. I did go to some of them, right? But I knew the one he wanted me at was that Friday night service. So I made sure I was in that Friday night service. So it's important to be where you're supposed to be. It's important to be led. That gives you an idea of discerning of spirits. In terms of discerning of spirits, I think God's used me to flow in, gone through me with word of knowledge and with words of wisdom. But in terms of discerning of spirits, sometimes I've seen into that realm, but I have never seen an evil spirit on someone then minister healing to them. I don't know why, other than it's as he wills. And so I just have never, he's never used me that way. Closest I've probably come to that, but this was, actually it was a word of wisdom, is I was with some friends, and this is many years ago, when I was with them, over my friend's husband's head, I saw the word death. And I had never seen that before. I just saw the word written out, like just above his head, in the spirit. That's what I saw. And at that time, I didn't really know what to do with that, but I knew it wasn't good. So I knew that I needed to go home and pray about that. And so I did. I went home and I prayed. And I was not impressed to go and share that with him, not to say anything. So I just kept praying about it. And then we went into a meeting where there were some other leaders in this other church we were in at that time. And it was interesting because somebody came up to me, and this to me was confirmation, came up to me and said, "How's so-and-so doing?" And they brought up this couple. And I said, "Well, why do you ask that?" And they said, "Because I just had a dream about them that the wife was pushing her husband in a wheelchair." And this person said to me, "I know it was a warning dream from God." So the two of us got together and started just really laboring in prayer for that couple. And she didn't feel impressed to say anything to them either, and never did, and neither did I. But I believe we prayed until in our spirit we had peace. I had peace, she had peace, and we just prayed until we got to that point. You know how I've talked to you about praying until you have the victory? Where I sensed, okay, I mean, that's major when you get the word death. Now, I don't know what the enemy's plan was exactly, but it was bad, and it apparently was to lead to that. So we just prayed until we had the peace, and that person is still alive today and serving God and doing great. So that's where the gifts can come into play for you to be used of God, to be a blessing to somebody when they don't even know. I don't know what was going on in their life, and I didn't need to know, and thank God for praying in tongues, because I didn't know exactly what to pray or how to pray, but I knew that my spirit would know, because I'd hook up with God and he would reveal to me how to pray, and I knew that if he was showing me something like that, it's because I had enough to pray it out. And if I needed more direction, he would have given me more direction. If I was supposed to go to them and say something, then he would have revealed that, but he never did. So we just prayed for them. They're doing great. They're doing wonderful. I've heard good reports. Do we know for sure? No, I don't know for sure, but that to me was a confirmation when they came to me and said that. And then the two of us just prayed together in that area. So these gifts can function to bless and help people that are in the body, our brothers and our sisters, to minister to them. All right, so let's go to faith, the gift of faith. So we're going to move into now what are called the power gifts. So this is the greatest or the most important of the power gifts. And this is called the gift of faith, which is not the type of faith that you get saved with or that you use in general on an everyday basis. This is not the faith that is for everybody, because we know that this type of faith is given as the Holy Spirit wills. To one is given this, to another that. Okay, so let's look at and understand what this is and how this is different. First of all, the gift of faith, and the Amplified calls it special faith, which kind of helps us to separate it a little bit from the faith that we have for getting saved or general faith for believing God for things. The gift is the gift of the Spirit to the believer so that he might receive miracles. So the gift of faith is more of a passive gift of believing God and expecting a miracle. So the gift of faith and the working of miracles both produce miracles, but they produce them in different ways. The working of miracles, the person is doing something. They're active. They've got something to do. Receiving a miracle through the gift of faith is passive. For instance, Daniel in the lion's den. Now, it says that the angel shut the mouth of the lions. Yes, we know that. But there was operating there special faith, this kind of faith that we're talking about. And the reason why we know that is because that's not an everyday occurrence. Most of the people that were being thrown to the lions were being et, right? But Daniel wasn't. So what was different about Daniel? Well, in those verses where it tells us that account, it says that Daniel believed his God. So Daniel was believing God that everything was going to be fine. And then Daniel laid down and went to sleep. That's faith. I mean, just try to imagine, okay, lions, hungry lions in a den. And, you know, if they roll a boulder over it, it's probably not real light, so I'm not even sure you know where they are exactly, other than maybe seeing red glowing eyeballs, right? I mean, you know, you wouldn't even know where they were exactly. You could probably hear them breathing, you know, right? All night long? I mean, we're not talking 15 minutes. Just get through the next 15 minutes and you've whipped it. We're talking all night long. And he lays down, goes to sleep. That's faith. Jesus in the boat, when Jesus went to sleep in the back of the boat during the storm, and the disciples are, "Your master, we're perishing, storm, waves, and they get all frantic. I mean, now if they get like that, it must have been for a reason, because they had faith too, but they weren't functioning in this type of faith. And so Jesus just went to sleep. So Jesus was functioning in this type of faith in that situation, just went to sleep. Now, people could say, well, but he's the Son of God. I mean, he didn't have to function in that. And we've taught on this a little bit. What Jesus did when he came to earth is he put aside his deity. And he came to earth as a man. So while he was on this earth, he was 100% man and 100% God. But he was not calling upon the power that he had as God before he came to this earth. Because if he did, he couldn't stand as our substitute. Do you understand that? Yeah. To stand as our substitute on that cross, he had to experience temptation the way we do. Yeah. He had to resist sin perfectly as a man, not as God. Which means if all of that power and ability of the Godhead was placed aside when he came to earth, that everything he did on this earth, he did as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now, the way that we can prove that by Scripture is this. He never did any miracles before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. None. So if he was functioning as God the entire time, then we would have seen those miracles and accounts happening through his life when he was young. Okay, but we never do. Not until he was anointed, baptized by the Holy Spirit. So after that point, then we begin to see him functioning. Now, the difference between him and us is that he had the Holy Spirit without measure. And there's a scripture in the Bible that tells us that. He had the Holy Spirit without measure, whereas the rest of us have a measure. We have a part, and he had the Spirit without measure. So that's a difference there, where we see him really functioning and flowing in ways where we have not seen too many other men function and flow the way he did. Yet, we also know in the Gospels that he said that we would do greater works. If he was doing it as God, how could we do greater works? And that's not greater in size or in awesomeness. It's greater in number. In other words, we would do more in number. Now, let's look at four types of faith. There is saving faith, which we see in Ephesians 2:8, and I'm not going to go into that, but it talks about faith to be saved. Then there's general faith, and that's in Romans 12:3. And in that it says, to each has been given a measure of faith. Let's turn there. Romans 12:3, that one we want to turn to. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So, that right there, nobody can say they don't have faith. God has given to each one of us a measure of faith. And, here's good news, we all have the same measure of faith. So you may think, well, I don't know about that, because I see that person over there, and every time they pray, it gets answered. Every time they need to do something, it happens, and it happens immediately. Well, God's fair, and we were all given the same measure of faith, every one of us. It's just some people have developed it more than others, but we were all given the same amount, and we all have it. So nobody can say, I don't have faith, if they're a believer, because they had to have faith to get saved. They have faith operating in their life. They have this general type of faith. Then, fruit of the Spirit, which not only is just called faith, but actually a better word would be faithfulness. Faithfulness, and that's Galatians 5, 22 to 23. Now, often the gift of faith will work in the face of danger, which we saw with Daniel, which we saw with Jesus in the boat. And this gift simply expects a miracle. It expects a miracle. You know, when I shared with you about that tree in Oklahoma that I cursed, I think that was the gift of faith operating. I knew it would happen. I knew when I spoke that it would happen. It took a couple years, but I knew it would happen. Well, you laugh, but see, God's really been working with me to be very, very, very careful with my words. And this is something that he's been showing me, that he wants me to operate in this more. And so I need to be very careful. I need to be very, very careful. Well, okay, how do we know? Well, you can just bless and curse and, you know, it means nothing. You just throw it off. Yet you can see, you know, the men of the Old Testament would speak blessings over their children and it would come to pass. Do you remember even the case they switched orders? They deceived the father. The one was hairy. And he switched places with his brother. He put on, like, I don't know, some hairy animal goat skin or something. And then the father couldn't take that back. Remember that? Yeah. He'd already spoken that out. So what is it about speaking out words like that is that they knew they were speaking blessings over their children. And those blessings stuck. As much as he wanted to change that, he could not change that. That blessing stuck the way he had spoken it out before he died. So we need to be very careful, not only with our words, because our words are important, but also in functioning and gifting like this. Faith expects, it passively expects a miracle to come to pass. So we need to be careful with our words. When I say God bless you to people, I mean it. I'm not just throwing words out there. I mean, I'm sitting there, and in my heart, when I say God bless you, I'm thinking they're blessed. They're blessed. Good things are coming to them today. Good things are happening to them. They are blessed. They are blessed. When I say God bless you, it's as though I know, I'm believing that a blessing is going out and resting upon somebody. That those words are real and they accomplish something. They're not empty. It's not just a nothing greeting, but there's power, there's substance in that. I do. I believe that when I say God bless you. I mean it. I mean it. Okay, the gift of faith, you can see by reading through the material that you have assigned, can be used for different things. It was used for Elijah to be fed by the ravens. That was supernatural, that birds would fly in and bring food to him every morning and every evening. The gift of faith is also used in raising the dead. But in raising the dead, there are three power gifts required. All three of the power gifts are required. So just if you want to think, well, now what were the three that were required? However, I'm not really sure you're going to be thinking about all that in the time of the situation when God's going to use you to raise somebody from the dead. I'm not sure that you really have to kind of sit there and figure out what one's flowing at what time. Because what happens is it'll so rise up on the inside of you that you'll just function in it. You won't have to sit there and dissect. Now, let's see, is this special faith? Now, gifts of healing? And just it'll come, it'll just be in you. And it'll come through you. It's all gift of faith is also used for casting out evil spirits. Now, we know that also all believers, you know, at the end of the Gospels, where we're told that lay hands on the sick, they will recover, and that we can speak in tongues, and that if we drink any deadly poison, it won't harm us, and that we can cast out devils. So we know there's that. But there's also a greater degree of faith for casting out spirits. And for ministering in the Holy Spirit, there's a greater degree for somebody to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can all use our general faith based on the Word of God at all times. for laying hands on somebody for baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's something. I've prayed for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've had pretty good results with kids, but with adults, I try to find somebody else to pray that. I just do. I don't know why. That just hasn't functioned very well through me. So I look for somebody else. Well, every once in a while, but in terms of just seeing a lot of real consistent, strong results, I haven't. But it doesn't mean I give up. I still use my faith, and I still believe God. I still believe that the word is true, and I still pray for people. But there are areas where we're gifted. There are areas where their gifts flow through us. Catherine Coleman said that she had gifts of healings. There were some things that God would use her to heal, and there were other things where she just had no success. She just kind of knew. There were just certain areas. That's why it's plural. We'll get into that. That's why it's gifts of healings. Because people will function often in one area. For instance, laying hands on the blind and the blind see. Where somebody else may have great success with praying for the deaf. And the deaf hear. Now you can use your faith and pray for all of them. But I'm just saying that you'll find that there are certain areas. There just seems to be a very easy gift or flow. Many times if we will take a step of faith. Ordinary faith, the type of faith that we all have, and use that, when we come to the end of that, if we will push through, God will meet us, and this special faith will take over. And you'll read that in your book where Smith Wigglesworth a couple times had somebody die, and they were raised from the dead in his ministry, and that special faith came in and just took over. Where when he ran out, faith came in and took over, special faith. I know of another situation where there was a gentleman in France who was actually a pastor that happened about a year and a half ago. There was a woman that had been very depressed in his church, and she actually jumped off a bridge and drowned. Then they notified him. Now, she'd been there for a while. They notified him. This was only a year and a half ago. This isn't Africa or India, France. He said something was on the inside of him, that there was no way that was going to happen. And he said the whole time driving to her, he kept saying, she will live and not die. She will live and not die. She will live and not die. And when he got there, they said, it's too late. It's over. She's been dead too long. There's no way. And he just refused to quit. And she was raised from the dead. Okay, now, that's as the Holy Spirit wills, though. It doesn't mean we just jump in and try that on everybody. Because I know of another case, actually, it was on the other side of the bay, where the pastor was having to deal with a family that a child had died, and they were trying to do that with this child. But trying to do it and having that gift, see, it's a gift, right? It's as the Holy Spirit wills. And not only that, we see that three gifts have to function in that. There's got to be faith. There's got to be gifts of healing and working of miracles. All three have to function. This is why we don't see it very often. And so this family was standing, just coming back to life, and this pastor was just kind of inside because he didn't think they had the faith for it. He didn't have the faith for it. And so they were just trying to do it, really, we can say it this way, in the natural. And then the natural doesn't get it done. So you really kind of, again, remember how we've talked about in praying for healing for people? That one of the keys is, it's being led by the Holy Spirit. That knowing on the inside of you. That knowing on the inside of you. I prayed about Pam. Had a check. Nope. You just take it from God. I'd be willing to go and pray and stand. But my willingness doesn't matter. Because my willingness won't change it. Do you understand that? It's got to be God. It's got to be God. It's got to be God's gifts flowing and moving. So what I was asking is, would God do that? Was God willing to do that? And I just had to check. So that's the other thing. Is we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that we don't hurt people, so we don't damage people. Yes, we see these gifts functioning, but it's so essential to remember that they function as the Holy Spirit wills. Sometimes, if these things aren't going to function, then the best thing we can do is minister love and compassion. You see what I'm saying? Put your arm around somebody and love them. So we need to be led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all these things. The Holy Spirit knows, and the Holy Spirit will lead us. And when He wills, then He'll function, and He'll move. And we're vessels that just go along with Him. Say yes, and flow as He wills, right? We flow as He wills. Amen.